Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, Spike's Car Radio, and today I'm with, I don't know, are we old friends? Would you say we're old friends? We
are? I'd say so, yes.
Mr. Rob Cordry from one of my favorite shows, Ballers. Now,
thank you.
Ballers. But how are we old friends, would you say?
I have no idea, dude.
I don't either.
I think I did your talk show.
You did that.
But I knew you before that, didn't I?
I thought I met you when you and Seth MacFarlane were doing a show for Fox.
What is it? The Winner, yeah.
The Winner, the Winner, right?
That is exactly it.
And we, they said, Spike, would you go host a panel for The Winner?
That's right.
In Aspen, at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
You killed the show.
I did. I was terrible.
No, you did, on purpose, I think.
You think I killed your whole series?
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's like, what's... Why?
I just remember being up on stage in Aspen and I couldn't breathe and, you know, there's no oxygen up there. And I'm sitting with you guys going, what's the point of this?
Why did you call a show The Winner? You're asking for trouble.
I thought the show was funny and I thought you guys were funny. It just, I felt like the three of us are like, what? Why are we trying to impress 18 people in the Aspen Comedy Festival?
No kidding. It's the worst. It's like, you know, all those festivals want to be Comic-Con, which is basically now a TV and movie festival. But it's just, let's just...
I don't think there is an Aspen Comedy Festival anymore.
I'm almost sure.
I remember doing a great deal of complaining. Everybody's pretending to be happy. I remember running into Stephen Colbert there, and we're both smiling. Yeah, this is great, isn't it great? Yeah, that was great. I'm walking around with like a Lysol aerosol can of oxygen, trying to breathe to make the headaches go away.
It's a real thing.
The whole weekend, I just complained. I go, this is not what comedy should be doing. There should be a Los Angeles comedy festival.
Yeah,
there should be a New York
fun places.
Comedy festival.
New York.
Right, where that's
Montreal.
Where, yes, Chicago.
Yeah.
Just anywhere where comedy lives. Yeah. And then the next year, they shut it down.
Yeah.
And
that was HBO, wasn't it, though? Like, HBO's like, Aspen.
It's got to be there.
Picture this.
Yes, men in fur coats. And lots of unhappy entertainment people.
So many furry boots.
I saw Marc Maron there perform, and he was he blew me away. Some college kids were in the audience, some Colorado college kids, and they decided to sass him. And boy, he just did a half an hour on it. And I didn't even know who Marc Maron was at that point, but I went, that guy is a genius. Jeez.
Yeah, man. I used to watch him perform. We used to perform. I was doing sketch at a Gotham Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. We were the – they said, you're the house group, but we're not going to pay you, and you go on Monday night at 7 p.m. So that's what the house group does at Gotham. And he would just come, you know, randomly show up and do a set here and there. And I remember thinking that guy was so good. And this was back – like in the mid 90s when he was like at the peak of ornery.
Yeah.
And, you know, like peak angry Marin.
Yeah.
You know, he's really calmed
substance
down.
Substance abuse time.
Oh, it's great. It's great. He was so, and still is so good.
He's awesome. His podcast is fantastic.
I never heard of it. He has a podcast?
I had not heard of it because I didn't know anything about podcasting.
Or really?
Podcasts. And several, the only reason I'm doing this one is because I listened to Marc Maron and Louis C.K. on a drive back from Monterey in 105-degree heat, and I was in a 1958 Porsche Speedster just dying. The heat was stuck on, so I'm in that car for 5 hours and 105, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it home.
You just leave the car by the side of the road.
No, it's a very valuable old car. Here's what I did. This is what you do. You put the top up to at least get the sun off of you. Is if you recall, half of California was burning that summer, I was driving through fires as well. And then I had a big set of the Beat headphones on. I had some of those, and I started listening to podcasts. And I listened to Marc Maron, and he got me through it. He and Louis got me through it.
Wow.
And
there was a great
moment that really blew my mind, and it was because he's recording in his garage in Pasadena, right? And he's and Louis C.K. is going to be here. Louis walks in, and they're talking for a second, and then you hear the doorbell ring, and he goes, "Okay, hold on, Louis, just wait a second. I got to go get the doorbell. I got to go get the door," and he leaves. He
it's
leaves
so
the podcast. There's no editing, and you can hear him kind of in the background talking to the UPS guy. But then Louis leans into the mic and goes, "It's just me, Louis. I'm by myself. with his guitar here. I'm going to sing a stupid song. Hello, I'm Louis C.K. And I went, boy, that's one of the greatest little... It reminded me of Letterman back in the day when he was drilling holes in his desk to kill time. I want this mic wire to
But it's even more so like of the time too, because it's like broadcasting has changed so much where now, you know, I consider him a broadcaster, and he's like, today... We can leave to go talk to the UPS guy in the middle of a show because I just did it. Because
I just did it, right. Yeah. And it's way more entertaining than the show.
Yeah, that's great. That's great radio.
It's great radio. Well, let's talk about you. You're on Ballers.
I'm on Ballers, sure.
You know, last night I decided to watch the season finale, and I had that experience many of our listeners have had where they go, oh, that was last week.
Oh, yeah.
You've already watched it.
Well, I
missed a week, so I had two episodes to watch, and I thought, well, I'll get these two episodes done, and then I'll be caught up to the finale. And it was so disappointing. I love the show. It reminds me of Entourage back in the day, which I think was also a Mark Wahlberg show. He's one of the producers.
And I think Steve Levinson, too, had something to do with Entourage.
But it's so fresh and so different, and you guys shoot it down in Miami.
Not anymore. No.
You're moving to...
No, the best job I've ever had became, like, a golden dream job.
Right.
Because it's now we shoot here.
Right.
So I don't have to leave. I haven't left my family in 2 years.
Well, then how am I seeing so many Miami...
They shoot locations down there now, or there's a lot of green screen.
Right.
And we shoot at the beach a lot.
What shots are green screened? I can't
restaurant shots.
Really?
So it'll look like we're on Cali Ocho or something.
Right.
You know, we'll be in a kind of crappy restaurant, and then they'll just put a green screen.
I can't believe I'm falling prey to this.
Yeah,
because,
man.
See, back in the days when I wrote for Seinfeld, people go, you shoot it in New York. And I'm like, no, look at that street. Look carefully at that street, you moron.
I hate it when people...
And now I can't tell that your show's not shot in Miami.
I just assume it's Vancouver, no matter what the show.
Well, your character is Joe Crutell.
Yep.
First of all, I'm so happy to see you on the show because
you're
my entry point into the show, the nerdy, funny guy.
Right. I'm happy to be that.
Right. And you're surrounded by real football players.
Yep.
John David Washington, who plays Ricky Jarrett,
yep,
and also works out in my SoulCycle class before every season to get in shape.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a better biker than he is, by the way.
He's in. Well, take your shirt off.
No, I'm not. Not right now. After the show. And it's just a really funny half-hour – you know, again, I've been saying to a lot of people, I thought comedy was kind of dead. And there are two that I watch, both of them on HBO, and one of them is your show.
Yeah.
Your show's hilarious, and you're great on it.
Thank you.
What is it like working with football players?
Oh, it's really cool. For the most part, it's really cool. I like that you – that was a fake-out, wasn't it?
No, it's because you're surrounded by a lot of guys who are the guys who used to beat us up.
But usually, see, you're good at this. Most people aren't. And the first question they ask is, what's it like working with The Rock? And I swear to God, I almost answered that question.
Right.
Like, gave the rote answer that I give.
Well, of course that's fun.
But but football players, it's kind of cool because they're more often than not really good actors. And they're all good guys.
Why are they good actors?
Because my theory, and this is pulled right from my ass, is that their job, they could die on their job. So, you know, they get to a set and they realize how easy it is. It's not digging holes, like, you know, acting.
Right.
And I think after 10 minutes of acclimation, usually, they're like... They're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was. This is super easy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think acting is the hardest thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah. I can't
come near
it. I don't
know, man. I mean, you can either make other people's lines sound believable or not. Or
you
write the other
people's
lines.
You get to have a lot of fun in your show, which would be, you know, there are lots of scenes with nudie girls.
Yeah, and lots of boobies.
Lots of boobies.
Bums.
Do you – you must love those scenes. You're a married man, you have kids. This is like...
Yes and no,
you're
Spike.
Allowed to do whatever you want.
Yes and no. Have you ever shot in a strip club, in a real strip club?
No, I have not.
The first time you do, you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. And the second you walk in that door, it's day, like, by the way. And you walk in and there's not a window and it smells like just there's a funk to it. Like locker room sex.
Still sounds pretty good, but go
paper
ahead.
Mill. I don't know. And then there's like, Then there's the act. Then, oh, this is what really bums me out. There's real strippers for them, usually.
Right.
You know, that they've hired to play the strippers.
So not actresses, the real girls.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part.
And so you realize that, like, oh, God, a couple of, like, junior producers went to this strip club three nights ago and partied and got lap dances. And then, like,
what a great job.
Probably got, like, a free lap dance, hired one of them. And then I'm thinking, like, that feels, like, so icky to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That feels fantastic. That feels like why I got into show business. Great. I mean, imagine that PA's life. I mean, the life of a PA. Were you ever a PA?
No, I wish I was.
I was a PA. I've done that. And most of it's grunt work. It's getting food. Now, wait, go to the strip joint and do what?
Yeah.
Come on.
I know. Days. It's not – also, a strip club, to be honest, is not really my scene.
Not anymore.
I'm the kind of guy, like, I grew up in Boston, so we didn't have them there.
Mm-hmm.
There was Puritan society.
I grew up in Boston, too.
Where?
What? I went
to up in the North Shore, there was, like, one.
I went to my first strip joint when I was 16
was it
years
zone?
Old. No, 16 years old. Where? And I went in, I think it was Brockton, Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah.
Right next to West Bridgewater. But that's even smaller than Boston.
I go to the fair.
Right.
And then
the Brockton Fair
usually gets evacuated.
Where in Massachusetts are we talking about here?
South Shore.
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Where'd you grow up again?
West Bridgewater, Mass.
Yeah, West
so
Bridgewater.
What town?
That's Weymouth.
Weymouth.
West Bridgewater is right before us in the school closings for snow days on the radio. No school in West Bridgewater. Weymouth.
You guys had a great baseball team. Or we had the worst baseball team.
Off and on.
But I remember playing you guys.
Off and
that's
on.
Fantastic. So we're South Shore guys.
That's right.
Well, okay. I'm 16 years old. I'm a junior, I think. And I decide to have a couple drinks with a friend of mine, Brian Jackson, who's the kid who at 14 looks 34.
Yeah.
Right? And we go, hey, let's go to that strip joint.
Day
we're not. We've been drinking. Let's go to a strip joint in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And we went to this place, and they let us in, and they were laughing.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
You went for the buffet?
They could tell we were high school kids, right? I thought, I can't believe we ran the gate. And we're sitting at this one table, not unlike this oval table we're at.
Yeah.
It's as small as it was.
Oh, my God.
And this woman comes out dressed as a nurse and takes her clothes off. She took out her stethoscope and put it down my shirt. I was in heaven.
That's pretty fantastic.
I was in heaven.
That's
as a 16-year-old. I was like, they're serving us drinks.
Sure.
And we had the greatest afternoon of our lives.
Yeah.
Now, here's where we screwed up.
Okay.
We went back to the school that evening because there was a class play rehearsal, which we were both in, and both of our girlfriends were in.
Oh, no.
And we, of course, had to tell everybody what had just happened. You wouldn't believe what we just did.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that was the end of two relationships.
I was going to say, is it worth the breakup as a
16-year-old? That's where I learned to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
But still, I remember as it like this movie moment in my life that I don't know exists anymore because, you know, now you'd get arrested. The club would be shut down. And
I had a hard enough time with girls anyway.
Uh-huh.
And then would like get into this kind of, I don't know, crafted environment. And then I'd be that idiot among your friends who would be like, wanted to talk to the stripper about what she really wanted to do with her life. Like, I'm that idiot.
You can do that, too.
I hate that, though.
Well, that happens later on in life. When you're 16, you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And in reality, this is probably one of my classmates' moms taking her.
My first strip club was in Orlando. I was in college. And I remember we went with a bunch of guys who were working at Disney in my college. They were like, you know, street atmosphere. And there was a little person. One of their buddies was a little person.
Right.
Cool guy. Coolest guy ever. And he, at one point, I saw him. It was like dollar dances. And they were standing up dancing. It wasn't lap dances for some reason. And I just remember this dude dancing with this tallest stripper in the joint. And I swear to God, I think he was crying. And I was just like, this is the worst thing I've ever been to in my life.
Why was he crying?
I got to get it. Oh, and at that same strip club, I was watching the stripper. And she looked down at me. This was not a classy place. Looked down at me. She went, what? And I was like, I don't know the rules here.
She just got angry.
I was looking at her.
Which is what
when
you're
she was
to
on
do.
Stage.
I see. And she got upset.
She roasted me.
Unbelievable. Yeah, no, I've heard that story before. I don't know. We just, You're right. There are guys who work in that environment and guys who don't. And I guess that's us. I want to talk more about Ballers. So this is season 3 just wrapped up.
Which
is huge.
Yeah.
You get past season 2, you guys are legit, and now you're off to many seasons.
I hope so.
What is it like, you know, when do you make the show? Like, what kind of commitment is it for you?
It's
like time. Like, how many is it from September?
It's good and bad. Good in that it's the perfect schedule. It's like they bumped it up a month to get more football players on, so it's after the season now. It's
right.
February to like May at the latest, maybe early May.
Uh-huh.
So it's a, and then the rest of the year, it kills creativity.
Right.
That's the bad side because you're like, I don't know. It's, you know, I learned.
Because you know it's coming back.
Yeah, you know it's coming back.
Oh, I've been in that situation before. So you're shooting September to when?
February to about April, May.
February to April, May. You can bang out a whole season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you're getting paid good dough.
Good dough.
And then you come back.
Great
gig. You've got a family.
Got a family.
Young kids.
So I do stuff like, you know, today I'm going to do this.
Yeah. And that's and
this
today.
You're probably work on my fantasy football teams, work the waiver wire a little bit,
right.
And then pick my daughter up at school and drive her to swimming.
But you're in
that's
so
it.
Much – you must be getting calls for movies. You're that guy you
well,
see in all comedies.
Yeah, but I'm getting calls. I'm doing a movie in a couple of weeks, but it's like and it's a great movie and it's with friends. I
mm-hmm.
always just do stuff with friends, it
right.
seems. And it's – but I'm like – I might have a reputation for not enjoying money because I never get like a big payday ever.
Right. Well, yeah.
But
you're
whatever.
On your way to that. You're, as long as you're working, the money is coming in.
No, it's fine. I don't – I can't even believe it when I make money from doing this.
It's unbelievable,
isn't it?
So
it's like, I never when you just said, well, yeah, you're on your way to that. I'm like, I don't know. And I'm cool. I'm cool with that. I make enough to, you know, to support my family.
Right.
I'm good. I'm good.
That's amazing. What does your wife do?
Well, she is a speech pathologist
okay.
by trade.
So
right
she's
now,
not in the business.
She's not in the business.
Fantastic.
Yep. And right now she's raising our kids, basically. She's a mom.
And when you say speech pathologist, that's when a kid has a lisp or something?
It
like,
runs
I needed
the gamut,
one of those when
right?
I was a kid.
Yeah, it runs the gamut from that teacher that like
right.
you had to leave the class in the middle of class and get embarrassed.
Yes.
And people were like, it's got Spike's retarded. Or something
no,
that
they
Boston
didn't kick
people
me out,
would
but
say.
They said you need to come after school to deal with a lisp. And I said, what,
yeah.
what's a lisp? And they, I remember a teacher said, say suffering succotash.
Yeah.
Like Sylvester. And I went, suffering
succotash. Suffering succotash.
Okay,
what?
That's not how you're
like,
supposed
you
to
like
say
you sound
it.
Like an idiot.
Right.
No, get out of
and
here.
And then I went to speech therapy with Mrs. Boynton.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Boynton was her name. And she made me, that
it worked. Look, you're a broadcaster, for God's sake.
Well, though, no. This is the beginning of a very long road.
Okay.
I start off duck-toed, buck teeth with lisp. That's me. That's who I am.
Aww.
Slowly. And then, but we had to, I remember going in, and all I was doing was Daffy Duck lines and Sylvester the Cat lines. And, as, you know, I'm like, I was just so confused. I'm like, is this cartoon voiceover lessons? Like,
yeah,
what
am I
doing here?
Am I, do I have to join the union?
And then you think, like you said, then you're done. Now you speak perfectly. And
yeah.
then you go – I go to school in Boston. But what do I sound like now to every kid who's come from different parts of the country? Who do I sound like? You grew up on the South Shore of Massachusetts.
You don't have a shred of a Boston
I
accent.
I had a wicked Boston
Me too,
accent.
Kid.
Wicked Boston accent.
Oh,
I was in a play at Harvard, and I'm doing these lines.
Yeah.
It's a doc
yeah.
drama. And every
a
line,
doc drama?
Doc drama. But every line I'm doing, I'm getting a laugh.
Look, I love comedy, but I love drama, too.
Drama is amazing, but I'm not supposed to be getting the laughs. So at the end of the run, I say to the guys, I'm like – it's Henrik Ibsen's Enemy of the People. Look it up. There's not a funny inch of it anywhere in the play. And I'm like, why am I getting laughs on these lines? And
yeah.
they all went, it's your accent, stupid.
Oh,
and I went,
God.
What accent?
What accent?
What accent?
I did in college. My first play was a Torch Song Trilogy. And I was playing opposite the character, opposite my characters, when it was named Arnold. And so the only notes I would get for the first couple weeks are, Rob. Arnold. And I used to have to do this. Arthur Carter is a farmer who sells purple earthworms at the airport.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, I don't think I can do
that. That's what
cured
me.
How do you say it? Do it again.
Arthur Carter is a farmer who sells purple earthworms at the airport. You have to really hit those R's.
Well, there you go. Grab a beer. We'll be right back with Rob
Linder.
Cordry on Spike's Comedy Radio.
Have a pizza.
When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times, this isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. This just happened to my brother. Well, with TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. This is a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. And don't we all want to feel confident? Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide. You will work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a fast buying process when they connect with TrueCar Certified Dealers. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And guess what? I'm not telling you what features and what states.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
we
company.
We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
Three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
this
that's
is
correct.
A family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
We're back with Rob Cordry from HBO's Ballers, just wrapped up season 3. One of my favorite shows. It's hard to be one of my favorite shows, dude.
Yeah, man,
hard
you're tough.
To get
everybody
in there,
knows that.
But I like it. You're super funny. I like, you know what? I like all the substances you abuse on that show,
yeah.
All the drugs you take, and
yeah.
All the drinking, and how it goes wrong. It,
yeah.
It really
you know,
is
that's,
entertaining.
That's what I love about playing these kinds of characters, because we all have that one friend who can, like, drink and do drugs all weekend long, and then Monday, right back at work, maybe a little bloodshot, but on point. You know what
and
I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what he is.
And
he's really
he
good
is.
At his job, and
right.
He can do whatever he wants because his body is like, it doesn't, what, it can process.
What kind of car do you drive in that show? Do you have a
okay,
car?
Okay, so this is, it's changed three times.
It has.
Which is what I love. The car guy, the guy that gets all the cars for that show, very busy man. And usually it's like, you know, whatever.
No, there's a lot
those,
of
those. I don't even know what
the football
like,
player
the
wheels.
The McLaren type
the McLarens
cars,
and Ferraris and Porsches.
I don't dig the McLaren type of like, looks like.
They all look the same, right?
European, you know,
yeah.
Trash.
Have you driven one?
Nope.
Yeah.
Never.
That'll
I'd
change
love to.
Your mind.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you like about it. I felt the same way. See, you and I are kind of judgmental Massachusetts guys.
Yeah,
so
right.
I couldn't get my head wrapped around a BMW or a Porsche growing up. To me,
no.
That was
dude,
the country
up.
Club. Asshole
yeah.
Drove that car,
that's
and I'm
right.
Not going to be that guy, right? And then I drive these things, and I'm like, all right, I don't know what I'm
it's
talking about.
Awesome.
The McLaren, you get in the McLaren, and you look at the spaceship, but you sit down in it, and it's really comfortable. It's one of the most comfortable seating positions, and it's fast.
Oh, that's cool. Is it
like
an easy drive, though?
It's an easy drive.
Oh, that's good.
The only problem you would have is getting out of it.
Yeah.
And being the guy getting you would feel
it's
the Massachusetts
bummer.
And you come up like mercury in a thermometer going, oh, this feels wrong.
I have a car that's it's low, but it's not even that low. It's like it's a Challenger. And
you have a new one.
Every time I get out of the car, I'm like, this is the only time I want a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
A truck.
Well, yeah.
I want to hop down.
I want to break my back. I feel at home in trucks whenever I get in trucks. A pickup truck is where I feel most at home, right?
Yeah, I love
That's Massachusetts. That's that part of Massachusetts.
Well, my dream car, you're going to respond to this, I bet, because it is quintessential Massachusetts car when we were growing up.
Okay.
And it was one of those
Chevy
cars,
Nova.
That's good. That's good. But I'm talking dream car.
A dream car. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Barracuda.
That's good, too. Close. It's actually close. No, it's not close. I was thinking Challenger's close to America.
A Trans Am, my friend.
Oh, I do want a Trans Am. 1975, like, Firebird. Black and gold, of course.
Yep.
1987 Buick Grand National.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, GNX.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've driven one. I love those things.
Oh.
They are super cool, those little NASCAR boozy cars.
Those are, they're like, they look, they only came in black.
Yep.
And they were the fastest car in production at the time. They beat the Corvette. I think they beat the Porsche. Although it may have just beaten American cars.
See, that car wasn't even on my radar because just nobody – I think I was out of high school a little ahead of you then. Everybody in my town just drove these old muscle cars, whatever their parents could afford, you know, $500-$600 cars.
Yeah.
But the Grand National, that's a dream
car.
Would you want to buy that car now that you're rich? You got money?
Those are expensive cars for used cars. It's like to get – the GNX is a really – that's a real, that's a car, man. And – people have just started realizing it, so now they're to get a like mint one. It's like $90,000.
There's a great documentary on it. You should look up.
It's great.
You should watch. We featured the car in Car Matchmaker, and I really did love driving it. I just like the smell of those old American cars.
Me too.
That's the first thing that greets me when I get in one, and I really don't even care about the car as much as I care about the smell. It's a weird thing to
like
say. I want to just time travel with that smell. You know
me
what
too.
I mean?
I know exactly. You almost made me tear up when you said that.
Yeah.
I have such an emotional reaction at that and like the really soupy power steering.
Right.
Well, you got to turn it five times to turn.
Yeah.
Oh,
because what it brings back is memories of me and my friends, you know, Grizz and Ponty and Scuzz.
Yeah,
and
dude, going down Nantasket.
No, not even that. Just going into the woods.
Yeah,
driving in the woods with some beer.
Dude, we're going to bring a keg down the resi.
Yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah.
My mother would always say, why do you smell like a fireplace when you go? It's like we lit a fire out in the woods, Mom.
Yeah,
we drank some beers. And you go, with who? Just us.
I'm a fireman.
Just you boys? Four of you in a car? Yeah, just us.
Yep.
It's not a homosexual thing, Mom. This is, there's nothing to do
about
in this
town. The most masculine thing a kid can do in high school.
It was the greatest. And, you know, they're just great. There was just great music on WBCN.
BCN,
playing.
The Rock of Boston.
Yeah, and we took it apart. We talked about it all. We listened to music. We ran around.
Oh,
and then,
You built your super groups. You argued about your super. Yeah.
Well, most of us were in a band together, too.
Neil Peart. It's the best drama in rock and roll.
I don't know who that is.
That's a drummer for Rush.
I know the Shampoo Pert. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. And that's what I think about when I think about those old cars. It's like, I just want to do that. I want to smell that and feel that. But I guess.
I just thought of when you said that, that smell, it was I had a 1971 Ford Falcon.
Right.
Inherited from my grandmother.
Right.
And it wasn't a great car, but it was a boat.
It was a car.
Like that smell, I don't know, man.
Do you think was it grandmother or was it the car?
It did not smell. My grandmother never drove it, which is the great thing about that car.
Right.
It didn't get a chance to smell like her because towards the end there.
I had a car that was my grandmother's car too.
Of course, we all did.
It was a Dodge Colt, I think. I can't remember this car. But, you know, as a kid, you get so excited when grandma gives up this contraption that could be yours, that you're going to get to drive around.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it did not matter. All that mattered was I have autonomy and independence.
That's right.
And I can get into trouble on this thing.
I mean, that's what it is. It's so very American. It's such an American ideal.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a rite of – like, getting your driver's license, too, is like – it's at least it was. I don't know –
I don't know now.
I don't know if it is anymore.
It can for some kids.
The kids that I know.
We know how to take care of our kids. Back then, they didn't.
No, they did not.
They did not.
They
didn't
did
know
not.
What to do, especially Massachusetts.
How many times have you gotten We tried our best, Spike.
Yeah. 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 You know, you can't complain.
Oh. We did our best.
Why do you complain so much? Why can't you be more like your brother? I go, well, this was a very bad thing that happened that we never addressed. And
you still won't address. Where are you going?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. For me, that was my dad's gambling. He, you know, I learned later on in life. Now, my dad's dead now. We miss him. We loved him. But that he had a gambling addiction.
And you didn't know?
I didn't know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And when later on in life, it explained so much, the lack of vacations, all the weird stuff, the fight that was going on.
Mood swings.
The mood swings, yeah. Exactly. And before he died, he got a handle on it, and he dealt with it. And, you know, at that moment, you want to talk, go, hey, let's I got a couple of complaints.
Where is that like suggestion
now
box?
That you've just, you know, explained this, it's not over, you know. Yeah. You may have been living with this for 40 years. But
congratulations.
Yeah, I'm just now finding out and have a lot of questions. Yeah, why do you complain so much? Why do you have to bring that up? You're going to ruin your dad's mood.
My parents, my mother came out of the closet in 1995. Uh-huh. I was 25, so it was late. And but right around the time when that started to happen a lot. And so my parents got divorced. And the day that they told us, the kids, they also 5 or 6 more family secrets came like machine gun rapid fire. Like it was an insane day,
wow,
to say the
damn,
least. And I was like, and wait a minute, you're a lesbian? That was like number 3 on the list of things.
That's devastating. How old are you?
I'm 46.
No, when this happens. Oh,
25.
You're 25. So you're already out of the house. That's when all the secrets come out.
Yeah, no, my brother was like 17, 18. So he had the...
But you do feel relaxed in that moment. You're like, oh, now everything kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It all makes sense. I remember sitting my parents down after the first year of college at Christmas and going, look, everybody crack a beer open. I'm going to tell you all the lies. What lies? All of the things that you've believed since up till this point that are not true that I did, like, remember when the backyard burned down and almost burnt the neighbor's house down? They go, that was you? I go, yeah, that was me. I did it. It wasn't the kid in the brown jacket. No, that's Brian Tangway. He was the bad kid in town.
Oh my God,
I blamed
so
it
great.
On him. Do you remember when, Dad, when you came home from Boston on your date with Mom and the TV had blown up? And I told you it was my slingshot. He goes, yeah. He goes, it was really my gun. I shot the TV like Elvis.
That is so great.
And it was so much fun. It was such a fun night with my parents, just going through all the crap that I had lied about, of which there was a lot.
Yeah,
there was
right.
a lot because, you know, in Massachusetts, again, like
That'd
nobody.
That'd be fun to take an inventory.
There's no parenting at that point going, no. Look, you got to tell the truth, and here's why, and here's why that will benefit you later on in life.
Comparatively, I think I probably had pretty good parents, but they were typical of
They're
70s,
typical,
80s.
Right. They did do. And, you
parents.
Know, and
like,
now that you're a parent, don't you look back and go, they really were doing the best that they could do?
Yeah, probably.
There was
no
internet. There were no books. There's no advice.
That's true.
You know, going to a shrink is ridiculous,
that's
that
true.
Whole concept in Massachusetts. Yeah. And they did do the
and
best
And nobody
they
talked
could.
About feelings.
Right.
And nobody like, add that into the mix.
Yeah, that's Massachusetts. Yeah. So that all added up to, thank God for cars and motorcycles because I could get out
get
of
out.
There. Get out. And,
get out.
And start my own thing.
And I still feel – I don't even have anything – I don't have anything to escape from right now. I love my family and spending time with them, but it's held over. Like being in my car, I don't even – I could stay in traffic all day long. I don't care. Like I just love being in my car.
Right. You're
all
a driver.
By myself.
Right. What do you drive?
I drive a what year is it? 17?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
This is the new car you drive.
I hesitated,
none of us know
by the
new
way,
cars.
When you
it's
said
fine.
What age I was, too. But, it's a 2016 Dodge Challenger.
So you're driving a Challenger.
The Super B, the shaker with the shaker hood, you know?
That's
you
what your daily driver is?
Yeah.
And how old are your kids?
Because it's enough. It's like 2 levels below the Hellcat.
Right.
And the Hellcat, it's like, I don't think drivable in L.A., day to day.
My business partner drives one.
Just like that's his day to day car.
It's a really I love Hellcats.
I do
I think
too.
They're really fun to drive and they're very easy to control.
Yep,
if you want
yep.
to do burnouts and have fun. As a daily driver with a family, I'm not sure that's the car you want to choose. My friend John's on his third engine. so they're a little high strung.
Yeah, I don't. Cars. Where do I take my car to beat the shit out of it a little bit?
Well, but my point is, you're probably in the right car for you then.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Is the demon on your radar?
No, come on. The you whatever it is, America's Drag Racing Society banned it.
What?
They banned that
this
car.
This is a car, they say the front wheels will come up.
Yeah, they're like traffic. Too yeah. fast.
But your kids in the back will go, wee.
Oh, yeah, my daughter's like, we're in like stop and go traffic. She's like, put it in sport mode.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, I'll put it in sport mode. Would it make sense to put it in sport mode?
So you don't want a demon?
Nah, I would love to drive one.
Someone offered us one for a 30 over sticker, which is ridiculous.
Oh, God.
First of all, don't offer that to me over
That's
sticker.
That's what it is. That's yeah. It's just like a...
And they're making, I think, I don't know. I heard they were going to make around 3,000. I don't know the numbers. But it's just like, you know, that high, that many cars, you can't be asking that much money over sticker for a car like that.
Right.
And by the way, I don't know. These cars are fun, but they're just not daily drivers. I like the Challenger, the Charger, Hellcat. I like what they're doing, but that has to be your fun goofing around car. So you're in the right car.
Yeah.
And your kids are young, you said?
Yeah. They're 8 and 11.
8 and 11. So one's in the – oh, they can actually both go in the front seat now. You're all
right. No, the 11-year-old can't. The 8-year-old's tiny.
Oh.
She could. She's still underweight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? What's the rule?
I have no idea. Who cares? I can get my wife on the horn. She'll tell you.
Do you remember driving around Massachusetts as a kid, what that was like?
Oh, yeah.
We had a Country Squire station wagon that however many can fit in the back, go ahead.
Yep. Hey, Country Squire, like Woody wagon?
Yeah, the wagon. Can you roll the window glass down? Yep. So now we're just unrestrained rolling around in the back.
By the way, no seatbelts.
No seatbelts.
Sitting up in that, like laying down.
Yeah.
I used to sit. My seat was laying down. In that back windshield, on that little shelf.
Listening to music and throwing crap out the window at cars.
Crap. Me and my friend Robert Love, on the way to his hockey practice once, we took every one of his sister's Barbie dolls and Barbie doll clothes and just threw them out the window. I think we were like second grade.
That's what kids
And it wasn't
did.
Until we got yelled at that we were like, that was a horrible thing to do. Why do we do that?
Boy, see, because you learn. There's so much learning that took place back then. And I know we're here to talk about cars, but raising kids and the way you and I were raised, it was so different. Do you remember in the morning, you get on your bike, they just let you out the back and said, come back at night.
Yeah.
And I would go on these long, epic bike rides to Plymouth. Like, I would just say to my friend Jimmy Lenahan, say, Jimmy, do you got that map of Massachusetts? He's like, yeah. I go, open it up. Let's ride the bikes to Plymouth today.
Put it in your basket.
All right, good. So, get some sandwiches. We put knives in our backpack.
Of course
you did. We would ride on highways to Plymouth, and no one knew where we were.
That's so funny that you could even ride on a highway back then.
Like, on that little yellow line.
Nobody looks twice.
No.
No.
And you'd get there, and we're like, I can't believe we did this.
Now I see somebody, like, walking on the highway for a little bit. I'm like, who is this psychopath?
Right. Now imagine kids.
No, kids on their like 10 finding, speeds with the curled
that's
handlebars.
Right. Not finding dead hobos in the rest area.
Oh, getting into all sorts of trouble. Getting like half kidnapped by the older kids.
All right, we never finished talking about the baller car. So, season one, what do they give you to drive?
So, season one, I believe I was in the new BMW i6, like the electric
I remember
sports
that.
Car. It was really cool to drive. And then
what did you think of it? Did you drive it much on the road?
At first, when I looked at it, I thought it looked too much like the McLaren family of cars.
I think Tron when I look at that car.
But I love that car. I got to drive it a little bit.
It's
not
nice.
Too much.
It makes a nice sound. It's not the fastest thing.
No.
You know, when you think
it's
of
still
a plug-in
electric,
hybrid.
You know.
Yeah, but when you think of that, you think of something that really performs, and it doesn't quite.
Well, Tesla. This was Tesla's. I don't even know. If they were as – I don't even know if people buy a lot of Teslas outside of L.A., but Tesla's sort of changed the game in terms of that, right?
But I mean, when I drove the i8, I thought
– i8, right.
Right. I was thinking the – I just thought it was like a 918. I expected something a little bigger and better performing.
You know a lot – you're a Porsche
guy, faster.
Right?
Yeah. But I was really excited about the BMW, and then I thought performance wise, it just didn't deliver the excitement I wanted.
Yeah, well, you're never gonna, you're done basically. You're a Porsche guy. That's like that's never
no,
gonna
not.
Handle
no,
or feel
you know,
better than that.
People
right?
complain all the time. They're like, all you like is Porsches. It's not true. It is not true.
I don't mean all you like, but that is the there's a reason you like Porsches. Because,
like I just said, I like Hellcats
and it's fast.
I'm a fan of the Hellcat and the Demon, but if I were to endeavor to try to buy all of these things,
I know,
and drive
dude.
Them, so what I do is a little simpler. I just request the press car. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see me in other stuff, and then I get to drive
Wait,
it for a week
what
and
does
experience
that mean?
It.
Can I be on the press car? Can I get
yeah,
the press
yeah,
car?
Totally.
How do I get the press car?
You're gonna get it right now.
All right, great. Thank you, Mr.
You're
press car man.
You're already doing it because you said season one you drove this BMW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
loved
so
it.
So that's your first. That's better yep. than a press car. You're driving yep. it. You're experiencing it. There's a guy on your set somewhere who got that car for you.
Really? Yeah.
That's the guy you want to
talk
to.
Great guy.
You want to get the press. You want to hook up with press cars, right?
Oh,
that's how you do it.
Sweet. All right. Thank you.
They love influencers. They love people who will use the cars.
Nice.
I don't review cars and write about them. But right now I have the new Porsche Macan GTS, and I've got that for a couple weeks. And I will use that,
so
drop kids off at school. I'll take it into the canyons. I'll drive it with friends. I'll let people get in it and look at it, and I'll do two or three posts.
And you're
about
actually doing exactly what they want you. It's very it's a win-win, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty organic little thing,
yeah.
But I also get a sense of it for the podcast or for Car Matchmaker of
nice.
Just what it's like and what it feels like to drive, but more importantly, what it's like to live with it day to day.
Yeah, this has happened to me once. It wasn't even a press car. They were like, just drive it for a weekend. You don't have to say anything
right,
about it.
Right.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm even going to forget the name because it was unfortunately, it wasn't for me. But it's the new, they don't call themselves a Tesla competitor, but they are basically thought of as a Tesla competitor. They were a small company that was shut down in 2010, and now they're back, and it's called? Do It.
Yeah,
do
I
it.
Know. Begins with a K.
The symbol karma.
Karma.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not the best car I've ever driven.
What's the name of that company? Look it up, Will. What
I think it's Karma, and it's the model was I don't even know. It didn't leave an impression on me.
It's big, long, goofy looking thing.
Yeah.
Too much metal fleck in the paint.
Yeah.
Small,
and they
tiny
drove
kind of
like
it
a
didn't drive right.
Camaro.
Right.
You know.
No, I know.
Yeah.
They were selling them. It's the Karma. Fisker Karma.
Fisker
That's what
Karma.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. They. Right idea, wrong execution.
Yep.
There are
yep.
a lot of dead soldiers on the road. To
it's
the
nice in
car
there.
Biz.
I like the interior is pretty nice.
Somebody was buying out the old shells and putting Chevy crate motors in it.
That's great.
But
boy,
I think it was Bob
man,
Lutz.
That is
somebody,
vanity,
I
right
can't
there.
Remember who it was. Somebody from Detroit doing it. And I was just like, what? What are you doing? That's not what that car was about. But
yeah.
I don't think people are even going to want it then. But there's a lot of great electric and plug-in hybrid stuff coming down the pipe.
What's
Tesla,
your next – I mean, if, for you to buy a car, what would it be?
For me to buy
or
it?
Or lease or whatever you do, whatever your system is.
Hmm. Well, I always keep an SUV to do family stuff in,
yep.
put bikes on. It's got to have
Same.
I got to have a tow hitch, and I've got to have something that's kind of quiet. So
yep.
that, for me, is the Range Rover Sport.
Oh,
and now we can
car.
Get our bikes on there. We can get the skateboards in there. I have two boys, so we're always doing stuff in there. We can go on vacation in that truck, and then I can drive it around L.A. in
yep.
case, because I'm going to be in traffic a lot. And then I need to have a GT3. There's got to be a
got
GT3.
It. Well, come
You've
on.
Got to have a brand new Porsche GT3 because you just can't survive in L.A. without a GT3.
You're an idiot if you don't have one.
You're a total idiot if you don't
is
have
what
that.
You're saying.
So, I keep – those are my two main cars, and then I always keep something old.
Yeah.
Like right now.
That's what I want to hear.
Right now at the house, I think I've – so I've got the Macan GTS.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 58 Speedster in the garage.
Jeez.
And I've got my 66 Triumph Bonneville because it's now that it's
oh,
cooled
cool.
off, I can drive old
yeah.
stuff, and it's not too hot.
Yeah.
So that's what
that's
I'm kind
cool.
of rotating through.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
you got to think about that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no AC.
Oh.
It doesn't bother some people, and I argue with my friends a lot about it. It bothers me, all right? I don't like a sweaty back.
No,
I don't like
it
sitting in
me.
Traffic, having a sweaty back, and walking into a meeting
no.
where I'm not supposed to have a sweaty
how
back.
How cool it is outside. My windows are up, but the
yes.
AC is on.
And then we've got young kids. So at any given moment, Erica
yeah.
is calling me up and going, I need you to go get the kids.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
of them's here, one of them's there.
Yeah.
And I can't do that in old cars because
no.
they're not safe.
No.
And, you know, that's just little neighborhood rides. So.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to have
right.
a nice rotation of stuff. That's
yeah.
my excuse anyways.
Well, okay. So you got to coach me on this then because
okay. this is going to be good.
This has been – I've been – I feel like I'm the same kind of car guy as you, a romantic
yes,
car guy.
Right.
Likes the feel of them, not as much technical perhaps or rather
right.
– but – but just love them.
You love to drive.
Love to drive. Love to drive different things all the time.
There you go.
My wife knows this about me.
Okay.
She bought that ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's a bone of contention about having a second. There's really not room for a second car in our living, like the street and the.
Right. So you have parking on the street. You have a garage that keeps cars.
Well, it used to. I put my office in there, so I screwed myself.
All right. So now you're in trouble.
I screwed myself.
Okay.
But so
still, there's solutions.
I might. My brother, I can keep it at his house, but who knows? He's a rental. Who knows how long he's going to be there?
And do you really want your brother touching your stuff?
Oh, he's not going to touch that goddamn car. Oh, no. He doesn't care about it anyway.
Look, I've got room in my hangar right now. You could throw it right in my hangar.
That's
in Santa Monica Airport.
What I was fishing for. And thank you.
Between me and Zuckerman and the rest of it, there's always room for cars.
Well, Corolla's closer to me. I was like,
I'll call Adam up for you.
No, I was fishing. I was just there like last week, and I was like, oh, would you let people put cars here? And they're like, yeah, man.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Adam wasn't there. He didn't
know. You won't know. You won't care.
What the hell is this?
No, he's got a great
operation. Nova doing it my.
Yeah. No, that's the easiest part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is the storage.
Well, okay. So. But then,
so what are you going to get?
So, like, these cars that I want to get aren't that expensive.
No,
I mean the GNX is, but I like muscle cars from the 70s. I mean, name one. And I also like cars from the 80s too. Like, mm-hmm. I like the 70s, the Zs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Datsun or Nissan. I just love those. Like the older, the better. But I would. So I might if I was just. Because those are about maybe $5,000 to $10,000,
right?
I would probably get something like that, or I would love to get an old Porsche. I don't know enough about Porsches to say what I'd get, mm-hmm. but I love doing the research about this stuff. You know,
yeah.
And at one of those, I'd like to have. I was thinking about buying my wife, like an old, like I don't know what it would be like between 75 and 80. BMW or Mercedes, like one of those old diesel, you know,
Mercedes.
Engines that never die.
Yeah.
You know,
Mercedes motoring.
Yeah.
You're all over the place.
I know.
Every car you're mentioning, I'm thinking I know the exact website you need to be tonight to go find the best possible
version. You got to make a list before I get out
You
of
know,
here.
Zuckerman will. I was having coffee with Zuckerman, and he goes, look, I want you to look at this car.
Yeah.
What are you going to like about this car? This is my co-host. Isn't here today. He's sick. But he goes, I know what you're going to say. It's an American car. But you're going to love this thing. It's an Oldsmobile Tornado. And I go, is that purple? And he goes, oh, it's burgundy. They fucked the picture up. He goes, but look at this. And this is a brand new Oldsmobile Tornado.
I love that.
And he goes, look, it's only $30,000, Spike.
Like
you and I will split it.
It bounces.
Not that much money. We'll have so much fun. I go, are we going to – I know it's going to have the smell, Zuckerman.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Are we going to drive this? He goes, probably not.
Not in the hills.
But but let's get it.
Yeah,
and he's got me so close to pulling the trigger on it.
Oh, I think you should.
It's this GSX guy. These guys in North Carolina who have this amazing site for cars. I'll have to put the name up somewhere and put the car up. You guys mm-hmm. have to see it. But their cars are just perfection. And as you know, it's not even that. They know how to photograph the cars.
Yeah,
they take the picture, and you're
That's
already
important.
Dead.
It's important.
Right?
I know.
You're dead. You see it in your driveway. It doesn't look like that, but it looks so. Great. They know all the angles. They're so good. And I think I might actually buy that car now.
Oh, I think you are.
You're
going
to talk me into buying cars. I love when people come out buying cars.
I get this. I go to this.
What does your wife drive? So she drives.
Oh, so she doesn't care about cars. As a matter of fact, she's one of those people that I can't find it. She's one of those people that, you know, she touches anything that has electronics in it.
Yep.
She might have like a magnetic field around her that messes everything
up. So she drives
up.
A Prius?
She drives, I don't even know what it is. It's like a late 90s or early 2000s Highlander.
Okay, so
and it's
terrible. She doesn't care about cars.
It's terrible.
Right. No, I get it.
And she's just paid it off. And I was like, all right, so let's get rid of it. Let's buy something fun. Let's get you in something fun. Huh? What kind of deal can I make for you today?
No.
And she's like, no, I'm going to drive it for free for a couple years.
I own
years.
It. Don't you understand, Rob? I own it now. It's mine. It belongs to me. My wife gets mad at me so much that I don't buy her a Prius. And I just say, I can't do that.
Don't do it. You can't do that.
I'm going to lease you one against what I believe. But I'm going to lease you that car.
I wish I rented one once or it was given to me as a rental when I was in location. I couldn't stand it.
They are great. They do what they're supposed to do.
They do what they're supposed to, but that's not the kind of
and I'm getting off
experience
easy with
I'm looking
low
for.
Monthly payment.
Sure.
I know. But every once in a while, you have to drive that thing. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to zero in on something nice. We're going to find you this car. We're going to get you this car. And then we're going to sell this car, and we're going to make a little bit of money on it.
Oh.
And then you're going to make sure your wife has a front row seat to this. And she's going to go, you know what, Rob, whatever. If you want to keep doing this, this is fine with me.
Spike, this is the second best day of my life.
What was the first?
The first will be the day that happens in front of my wife. You're a genius. Thank you.
I am a genius. I want you. You're making all of this money now. You're on a cool show. Before you go, season 2 car on Ballers?
Jaguar.
Was the Jaguar F-Type? Is that what they put you in, the little two-seater?
I don't know because it changed. No, it was more conservative than that.
Okay.
I don't know because it switched halfway through the season.
Right.
The first season I was driving like a Buick Regal because that's the car that Peyton Manning drives.
Yeah.
And Dwayne's character is like, he drives a Porsche. He's not – he does the commercials for him.
Right.
He doesn't eat Papa John's.
And so then – third season this past season,
I'm trying to remember
what you were driving. I don't remember seeing you driving. I don't think they want you driving because then they have to put you in Miami, right?
Yeah, I didn't make it
and you were shooting in Vegas?
I didn't shoot in Vegas. I dodged that bullet. I was up north San Francisco, which was great.
Wow.
I love going up there.
You know, well, now that you guys are – where are we at in the storyline? You were trying to bring the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas, and then you lost the deal. You had to put it together yourself. And then you won the account, but they said, we're still moving the Raiders down to Las Vegas.
Yes. Well, he had a change. See, this is the Ballers, the loose Ballers formula is that he gets a big idea. It becomes personal for him, almost tears his life apart. I am caught between, sense and my loyalty. And then in the end, he surprises you with this really human solution. And this was to do the deal, but keep it here. Build the stadium in Oakland. Because look at those fans.
And look at the fans. He meets the people. So, he meets the driver.
It was a perfect sort of Ballers ending. And
you can't tell us where it's going.
Well, I don't know where it's
going. We don't know where it's going.
I'll probably get scripts pretty soon. But,
you guys are starting to succeed.
Well, now it is like, the last we see them, it's like we're going to expand to London. We're going to expand to, Paris. And
so that... all I'm saying is, are you a producer on the show?
No.
Do they listen to you in any way?
Oh, they listen to me.
Well,
I don't want to be a producer.
If I were running that show and you came up to me and you said, look, I'd like the new Turbo S this season.
Okay.
I'd like that car.
They would
give you that car.
They would give me the
car
I wanted.
And that's your quickest way. So here's what you do. You want to zero in on something that you love.
Yep.
And it could be this Hellcat stuff, by the way.
That'd be kind of funny.
It could be the new Demon. You could say to them,
that'd be funny.
And that's a perfect way to experience this car on the job, getting paid to do it.
That's,
you don't have to daily
that's
drive
a great
it.
Great idea.
You develop a relationship with the company.
So when you watch episode 1 of season 4, you'll know right away if I was successful or not.
And if you get
I'm driving two demons at once, you're like, ah, he's
see
good.
You get the front wheels off the ground in the very first episode. And I would say, look, after listening to you and hearing about cars, just zero in on Grand National. Let's find the best Grand National we can find for you. And
let's
it's not going to be that expensive.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
I'll trust you because you've done this. I've never done that.
It sounds like that's the car that you want. Everybody listening now has heard you bring it up 2 or 3 times. So we know that's the car you dream of and want. And that's what I believe you should chase. And you buy it when you're ready to buy it.
I'm ready.
All right. Rob Corddry, ladies and gentlemen. One of the funniest guys you know. Didn't know he was a car guy. His show is Ballers. Season 4 starts sometime next year. Big fan, my friend. Good to see you.
Same. Right back at you. Good
see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or podcastone.com.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong. What
I
do
like
you say?
It. I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace.
That's
and then
right.
Watch them fall from grace.
Who
as they inevitably
like that?
Do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.